Hello, and welcome to this edition of Wallingford and District Talking newspaper. Articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald for Wednesday, the 27th of May, 2026. Your readers today are Jill, Sophie and Sue, and producing is me, Martin. Helen will be copying and making sure you all get your recordings.
Hello, I'm Sue. Thug jailed for strangling ex-partner while she slept. A terrified woman thought her ex-partner was going to kill her when she woke up to find him strangling her. Darren Taylor, aged 35, of Westfield, Harwell, near Didcot, was jailed having admitted a charge of intentional strangulation against his ex-partner in Whitney on December the 4th last year. Julian Lynch, prosecuting, told Oxford Crown Court that Taylor had and the woman were initially in a relationship in 2008. They split up in 2019, but got back together in 2022. They then split up again last year. The court heard that on December the 4th, Taylor was staying at the woman's house, which she had agreed to. Mr. Lynch said he, Taylor, started to cry and gave a sob story about how he loved her and wanted her back. The court heard he left after this, but left some belongings behind which the woman agreed he could collect. Mr. Lynch told the court the woman then went to sleep. He said she woke up to find him on top of her. He had his hand over her mouth and around her neck. She was extremely scared and screamed loudly. The woman managed to get out of the bed and get away from him. She suffered eye swelling and scratches. The victim attended court and read out her impact statement. She said, "On that night, after weeks of stalking, he entered my bedroom, attacked and strangled me. I felt completely helpless and thought I was going to die. My lips turned blue and swollen. The psychological impact has stayed with me ever since. This was not an isolated incident. He made me feel worthless. His behaviour escalated into persistent stalking and harassment. I no longer feel safe in my own home. The defendant had committed domestic abuse against me in the past. This behaviour is not normal and will not be accepted and is not okay. The fear and trauma remains every day. This was a long period of abuse through control. We need to heal and rebuild our lives without fear." The court heard that Taylor had 8 previous convictions for 13 offences. These included 4 of domestic violence against the same victim, including the one incident of reversing a car into her. David Langwallner, mitigating, said, "He overreacted very badly in this specific situation. He was mentally not in the right place. This is a ruptured family unit." Judge Michael Rock said, "You applied pressure to cause redness to her neck. She was able to scream for help. You robbed her of the feeling of safety and security. Your main mitigation comes from your plea of guilt. I know there is a bitter background here."
Hello, this is Jill. Wembley honour for fan who saved rival supporter. A stand at Wembley Stadium will be temporarily named in honour of an off-duty Oxfordshire police officer who saved an opposing football supporter's life. Walking back to her car after a routine away day at Luton, Reading fan Pippa Sharman had no idea she was about to change and save a life. As the streets thickened with departing supporters following a November game, the 34-year-old from Chelgrove saw a car suddenly lurch and crash into another vehicle. Behind the wheel was Luton Town supporter David Norman. After pulling him from the car, she instinctively began chest compressions while the 103 beats per minute Bee Gees song Staying Alive echoed in her head. Police and paramedics soon arrived and shot Mr. Norman 3 times with a defibrillator as Miss Sharman walked back to her car completely dazed. The real emotional crash came the next day when she realised she had no idea whether the man she had fought to save was still alive. What followed was numerous empty calls to the police and hospital until a paramedic provided solace to her social media plea that he had survived. Mr. Norman, now in his late 60s, admits he remembers nothing of the event, but what he does know is that because of Ms. Sharman's fast thinking, he's been able to see his twins, 19 at the time, graduate from university and his youngest son finish his course. One of the first things I said to Pippa was that I will be forever grateful for being given the chance to tell my children I love them, he said. The pair finally met at the return fixture in April and have been close ever since. There will be a bond between us forever, he added. For Miss Sharman, it still feels surreal. She said, you do something that you hope any other person would have done, but to have that kind of recognition in the home of football is unbelievable. As the Sky Bet EFL playoffs light up Wembley, Miss Sharman's name will be branded among four other heroes who administered CPR. These honours come 2 years after Sky Bet and the British Heart Foundation launched Every Minute Matters with the aim of encouraging as many people as possible to learn CPR. Tom Lockyer, former Luton Town captain and campaign ambassador, suffered a cardiac arrest and knows all too well the importance of quick action. He said, to see fans being celebrated who have been through similar experiences to myself is incredibly emotional and special. This story is proof that ordinary people can make an extraordinary difference when every minute matters. And there is a photograph of David Norman and Pippa Sharman sitting together in the Pippa Sharman stand. And alongside is a photo of Wembley Stadium.
Fears over some black bin collections. Fears black bin collections could be collected once every 3 weeks in parts of Oxfordshire have been raised. Currently, black bins are collected from Vale of Whitehorse and South Oxfordshire households fortnightly. But when it comes to the looming local government reorganisation, the two councils favour a merger with West Berkshire Council. West Berkshire Council, in around £250 million of debt, recently introduced black bin collections once every 3 weeks. Vale Conservative councillor Lee Evans for Stanford raised the matter at a recent full council meeting. He warned of the unavoidable consequences of a merger between Vale of Whitehorse, South Oxfordshire and West Berkshire councils. Mr. Evans said, one of two things is likely to happen. Either black bin collection in the Vale will be reduced to match West Berkshire once every 3 weeks service, or, given that West Berkshire Council does not believe that it can fund collection themselves, council taxpayers in the Vale and South Oxfordshire will end up subsidising an improved service in West Berkshire. Bethia Thomas, Vale Council leader, said the administration cannot predict what will happen should the three councils merge by 2029. The Liberal Democrat said, as far as we understand, we cannot predict what will go forward. There are so many different parameters with so many different contracts, and we cannot commit a future council to anything like that.
Parking shortage is stalling developers. A lack of parking facilities may be putting off developers from coming forward to build 144 new homes near Didcot Parkway railway station, according to a livid county councillor. Land opposite the rail station is phase one of the Didcot Gateway regeneration project, a planning application which has still not been approved within about 5 years since it was initially submitted. Now the land has been put up for sale with Homes England seeking offers, but there is expected to be a limit on parking spaces as the scheme has been designated as low-car development. This means the site is designated to significantly reduce car ownership by prioritising public transport, and residents are likely to be restricted from applying for local parking permits on surrounding streets. Didcot West County Councillor Ian Snowden said, It looks like no developer has come forward so far to build these new houses. Perhaps that's because developers realise that if people are going to spend £250,000 to £300,000 on a flat, they will want a parking space to go with it. The area definitely needs regeneration, but I will be livid if they try to build 144 flats with no parking spaces because residents with cars will then try to park in neighbouring streets. There is a permit scheme in the area, but it's still difficult to park. Mr. Snowden added that council bosses have been living in a dream world where everyone cycles or gets the train. The listing from agents Carter Jonas states, the property is offered for sale freehold with vacant possession. The three parcels of land are all in close proximity and constitute a former garage at Hayden Road, a former Labour Club at Station Road, and a former jet garage site at Liddell's Road. If approved, up to 144 homes will be built, as well as landscaping and some parking. In a planning statement prepared on behalf of Homes England by Barton Wilmore, LLP, it said that in 2024, the development will make an important contribution towards the sustainable regeneration of Didcot and help to create an attractive new gateway into the town. The development will deliver housing, up to 40% of which will be affordable in accordance with South Oxfordshire District Council's adopted local plan, contributing towards the provision of sufficient housing land supply within the district. The development will also contribute towards the delivery of infrastructure required to mitigate the impacts of the development. For many years, council leaders have been promoting plans to redevelop land at Didcot Gateway, close to the Prince of Wales pub, but so far progress has been limited. The biggest redevelopment in the area in recent years has been a huge multi-storey car park. The £23 million 1,800 space facility in Foxhall Road opened in July 2019. There's a picture of the proposed redevelopment, an artist impression, and it looks very neat.
Bloom's boost for hospital garden revamp. A garden renovation is a step closer thanks to a successful fundraiser. The Bloom and Bake Sale was organised by the admin team at Wallingford Hospital. The event featured a selection of plants and many cakes for sale, with a number being contributed by local companies. Nearly £800 was raised towards the renovation. A spokesperson for the League of Friends said, "Every plant sold, every cup of tea or coffee enjoyed, and every sweet or savoury treat or homemade item that was purchased is helping us move one step closer to making this vision a reality." The long-running garden has served as a peaceful haven for patients, staff and visitors since the hospital opened in the late 1960s. However, it is now considered unsafe for patients to use. Funds will go towards transforming the space into a safe, welcoming garden for everyone to enjoy for many years to come. And there's a photograph of the admin team with some of their plants for sale and one of the posters advertising it.
Oxfordshire has one of lowest divorce demand. People in Oxfordshire want a divorce less than half the national average. New research from Stowe Family Law has shown people in Oxfordshire are searching for divorce-related terms with a search rate of 0.76 per 1,000 people. The national average sits at 1.47 per 1,000 people. In the South East, the average sits at 0.96 per 1,000 people. The Isle of Wight, Kent and West Sussex top the list in the region with the most average monthly searches. Meanwhile, couples in Surrey, Hertfordshire and Berkshire have the most searches across the region. Wales has the highest average search rate for divorce-related terms at 2.51 searches a month per 1,000 people, 70% above the national average for England. Rutland, in the East Midlands, is the local area with the highest search rate in England and Wales, at 3.31 per 1,000 a month, while residents living in Surrey recorded the lowest search rate, at 0.42 per 1,000 each month. The data comes at a time when official figures show divorce rates slowing. Latest figures from the Office for National Statistics, the ONS, show a stabilisation in divorce rates following hitting a historic low in 50 years. Despite this national trend, the search data suggests that in many communities across England and Wales, people are still actively seeking information and guidance about divorce.
Business named in UK Best Places to Work list 2026. A family business based in Wallingford has been named in the UK list of the Best Places to Work 2026 for its employee well-being. Wallingford-based Connect Catering, which provides catering services across independent and SEND schools, business and care settings, was recognised in the prestigious Sunday Times Best Places to Work 2026 list. The independent company's employee engagement score came out at 88%, an excellent rating which is higher than the hospitality sector average. The score measures against criteria like well-being, leadership, empowerment, job satisfaction, and workplace culture. Victoria Morell, CEO of Connect Catering, said, "We are incredibly proud to receive this recognition. Our people are at the heart of everything we do, and these results reflect the positive, supportive culture that we have worked hard to build across the business. Hospitality and catering can be fast-paced industries, so creating an environment where colleagues feel valued, supported, and able to develop is hugely important to us. This achievement belongs to every member of the Connect Catering team." The employee engagement survey found more than 90% of employees felt safe in their working environment and felt they had a good relationship with their manager, while 89% felt proud to work for the company and 87% expressed confidence in management.
Social Club wins award from Camera. The head of the Social Club in Wallingford said their latest award is testament to their great ales and friendly banter, as it wins Oxford Camera Club of the Year 2026. Wallingford Comrades Club has been announced the winner of the coveted title, marking it out as the best club in Oxfordshire, according to Oxford's campaign for Real Ale. The members' social club is popular in the town and has been running for more than 100 years, first formed when locals who served in the First World War wanted to retain the camaraderie of service on their return to Wallingford. Alan Streets from Comrades Club said, "The bar boasts fantastic real ales that are always on tap, with a regular change to great ales every week. It's a great place to meet friends and get to know others. The club is keen to keep friendly banter around the bar with its members. The Camera Award is confirmation that we have great ales on offer all the time and that Oz keeps a top-class cellar. The club has 4 snooker tables and a number of teams in local leagues, as well as a golf society with monthly outings and an annual 3-day tour." And there's a photograph of Oz and Lucy of the Comrades Club being handed their camera award in the club, which has got loads of rosettes, cups and goodness knows what behind it.
Appeal overturns gravel pit refusal. Householders in Wallingford have been overruled and left disappointed after an appeal decision gave plans for a gravel pit on the bank of the River Thames the go-ahead. A long-running planning battle between local authorities and company London Rock Supplies Limited over plans for a gravel extraction pit at White Cross Farm in Cholsey reached its conclusion this week. Although the plan was refused by the South Oxfordshire District Council and the County Council, the rejection was overturned by an appeal heard by an inquiry last July. The planning inspector approved the extraction of approximately 550,000 tonnes of gravel over the next 5 years, followed by restoration work. The plans were wildly unpopular with people in Wallingford and Cholsey, with protests held against the proposal at the countryside site multiple times. Oxfordshire County Councillor for Wallingford, James Barlow, Green, said, "This decision to grant permission for an open cast mine in a protected landscape is another example of the distant Westminster government overruling decisions made by our own local elected councils. It is not consistent with the government's duty to both current and future generations of residents. It puts private profit before public needs and safety in the middle of this climate and ecological breakdown. House building is slowing down again. The need for this mine is not conclusive. That's why Oxford County Council turned it down. What is the point of designating an area as a protected landscape when it's clearly not? It is extremely concerning that many appeals are now going in favour of the very development which make the majority of residents' lives worse today and all of ours worse tomorrow." Cholsey Parish Council echoed the sentiments of Wallingford Town Council, with both saying they were disappointed with the decision. Cholsey Parish Council added, "We have consistently objected to the proposal, and our community came together in an extraordinary way to challenge both the application and the appeal. Our dedicated Rule 6 team, supported by local experts, played a major role at July's public inquiry. Residents wrote letters, spoke at the inquiry, joined protests, displayed banners, contributed to news coverage, and over 2,000 people signed the public petition. We are deeply grateful for everyone's efforts. We know that our concerns were heard about tranquility, views from the Thames Path, dust, noise, ecology, and flood risk. The inspector accepted that there will be noticeable short-term impacts, but concluded that these are temporary and reversible, and that requirements for Oxfordshire's sand and gravel supply outweigh the harm. The permission includes a wide range of strict conditions that London Rock must comply with throughout the life of the site. We will continue to scrutinise these closely and ensure the community's voice is heard." And there's a small photograph of what looks like three young women with their backs to the camera on the banks of the Thames looking at the river. And on the riverbank behind them lie some protest placards and banners against the gravel pit.
Andrea Powell elected new council chair. A new chair has been elected to lead South Oxfordshire District Council. Councillor Andrea Powell, who represents Benson and Cromarsh, will serve for the next 12 months. She takes over from Catherine Keats Rowan, having previously served as her vice chair. Ms. Powell said, "I'm honoured that my peers at South Oxfordshire District Council have elected me as the new chair. I'm really looking forward to the next 12 months, meeting as many residents and community groups as possible, not just the groups that I'm part of. I want to celebrate the remarkable generosity and dedication of our communities and volunteers here in South Oxfordshire. I'd also like to say a huge thank you to Catherine Keats Rowan for her excellent term. It was a privilege to serve under her as the Vice Chair. Ms. Powell has served as a District Councillor since 2019 and has held roles as a Cabinet Member and Green Group Leader. She has chosen two charities to support: Starlacre, which helps people with learning disabilities and autism, and Cycling Without Age Oxfordshire, which offers free trishaw rides to elderly and vulnerable adults. And there's a picture of Andrea Powell in a green shirt and with her badges of office around her neck.
Underground cable plan moves forward. There are fears for seriously disruptive roadworks and organised crime as plans to lay an 8.4-kilometre cable under Oxfordshire Roads moves forward. A major proposal for the installation of an underground high-voltage cable to support a solar farm is set to come before the Oxford City Council Planning Committee next week with a recommendation for approval. On Tuesday, the City Council may greenlight the development to connect the Burcott Farm solar farm between Abingdon and Beaconsfield with Cowley local substation. The proposal is also being assessed by South Oxfordshire District Council, which previously rejected the solar farm plan, only for it to win approval through a government appeal. The cable would run under Watlington Road B480 and the B4015. Sections would also be below Fields and Baldon Brook. It will require the excavation of a trench approximately 8.39 kilometres long, 0.97 metres wide, and between 1.08 to 1.38 metres deep. The route crosses two South Oxfordshire National Character landscape areas, the Green Belt and flood zones 2 and 3. A number of concerns have been raised during the application process, and the City Council has also received plans which would see an underground cable laid under the Botley Road amid an appeal for the Botley West solar farm.
Care worker honoured with top award. A care worker who once helped deliver a colleague's baby has been honoured with a top award. Rajaa El-Bendadi, a wellbeing assistant at Benson House Care Home, won the Care Home Worker Award at the Oxfordshire Care Awards. The awards, organised by the Oxfordshire Association of Care Providers, were held at the Oxford Belfry and celebrated outstanding contributions to care across the county. Cathy Deacadez, home manager at Benson House, said, "We're incredibly lucky to have Rajaa on our wellbeing team, but she offers so much more to the whole community at Benson House. I can think of so many situations where Rajaa has stepped in and made a huge difference to a resident, a relative, or a team member, and I value her contribution to our care home immensely. I'm so pleased that her hard work and dedication have been recognised by this award." Ms. El-Bendadi is known for her compassionate and tailored approach to care and has been described by relatives as one of the most sought-after staff members. One family member said, "She works tirelessly to create a warm, engaging and supportive environment for residents." And above the article, there's a lovely big photograph of a smiling Ms. El-Bendadi.
Fears of food crisis caused by farm costs and fuel shortage. An MP is calling for a £1 billion increase for farmers after a visit to a farm near Wantage. Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover visited Ed Clayton's farm in West Hendred with Witney MP Charlie Maynard before meeting with other Oxfordshire farmers and the National Farmers Union. Some fertiliser prices have risen by more than 40%, and fuel costs for transporting produce to and from markets are spiralling thanks to the war in Iran. Mr. Glover said after his visit, "With fuel and fertiliser prices spiralling, food producers are struggling to stay afloat, putting the UK's food security at risk. The Liberal Democrats are calling for a £1 billion increase in the farming budget to support British farmers to produce food sustainably and profitably. We need government to take food security seriously, starting with a national food strategy." The National Farmers Union Horticulture and Potatoes Board Chairman Martin Emmett said, "There is a broad range of issues on the industry brought in on by the war in Iran." Mr. Emmett said, "In the protected sector and those with cold storage, the knock-on impacts of the conflict to energy costs, both gas and electricity, will be the most acutely felt. This coincides with the sharp rise in standing charges that came into effect at the beginning of April, which has left growers facing a double whammy of increased costs. Packaging and transport costs have risen significantly too. The list goes on." The union has raised concerns about not having the red diesel needed for this year's harvest, which could see food rotting in the fields. Matt Lane, who runs a beef breeding farm in Denchworth, said, "As we move into harvest, they will add significantly to costs, not just directly in terms of fuel, but also add to contractors' bills and the price of many other inputs. As a beef producer, we need to get enough fodder for next winter, and so either we will have to reduce stock numbers and our output will reduce, or our borrowing costs will increase." Mr. Glover said that the farming industry has been messed about by the previous government's handling of international trade deals and the transition from the old basic payment system to the Environment Land Management Scheme. And there are four pictures of Ollie Glover in a large field with Hannah Darling, the group secretary for Wantage Branch of the NFU, and also with several members of the farming community.
Families' 21-mile tribute walk raises £7,500. A family walk between Premier League grounds has raised nearly £7,500. The 21-mile fundraiser was held in memory of 13-year-old Zach Little from Didcot, who died in 2024 after a three-year battle with an extremely rare form of leukemia. Beginning at Tottenham Hotspur's ground, the walk passed Arsenal, Chelsea and Brentford before finishing at Fulham, Zach's favourite team and the club where he held a season ticket. It raised money for Helen and Douglas House, the Oxford-based children's hospice that supported Zach and his family. Nadine Little, Zach's mother, said, "We shared lots of laughter and stories about Zach along the way. Even with blisters and aches, everyone was determined to keep going. Reaching Zach's beloved Fulham made it incredibly special. Zach's leukemia was extremely rare, requiring two bone marrow transplants, multiple rounds of chemotherapy, and other intensive treatments. When his doctors told the family there were no further curative options, they turned to Helen and Douglas House for support." And there is a photo of the walkers outside Craven Cottage with a poster with a picture of Zach on it.
New Every Parcel innovation trial at Tesco store. Every is testing a new innovation at a Tesco superstore in Didcot. The parcel delivery company has installed new lockers at the supermarket just off Haddon Hill, one of only a handful across the UK. A spokesperson for Every said, "Customers using the lockers will have access to Every's pick-up and drop-off services, providing a quick, contact-free method for sending and receiving parcels, with print at locker functionality alongside fast and seamless QR code scanning." Since March this year, a number of parcel lockers have been installed at post office branches and Asda stores, but this announcement marks a new step forward with Tesco. A spokesperson for the supermarket said, "We're constantly looking for ways to make the shopping trip even more convenient for our customers. As part of an ongoing locker hub partner trial across a small number of stores, we have introduced parcel lockers to give even more customers a convenient way to collect and drop off their parcels as part of their shopping trip." In addition, Royal Mail, Yeep and InPost are introducing lockers, including at the Didcot branch, and Tesco said it was excited to see how customers respond to this new innovation. A spokesperson for Every added that the new scheme comes amid a growing trend in consumer appetite for choice. Its internal data showed a 19% increase in parcel diversions to lockers, compared with 2025, and a 343% increase in usage of the lockers.
End of an era as gardening club shuts down. The long-standing Wallingford Garden Society has announced it has shut down after numbers dwindled in recent years. Wallingford Allotments and Garden Society was a once popular member organisation dedicated to helping gardeners and allotment holders get the most out of their plots and hold regular talks and activities for members. But after many years running, The group has seen a decline in the number of attendees to events, speakers and outings, and struggled to find new committee members. The co-chairs of the Sati have now announced Wallingford Allotments and Garden Society has officially disbanded. A statement from the co-chairs said, Wallingford Allotments and Garden Society has been running for many a year. Unfortunately, the number of attendees for organised events, speakers and outings has dwindled, and the committee feel it is no longer viable to keep the society running. So sadly, the decision has been made to close WAGS completely. In 2025, the group's autumn show was cancelled just days before the events due to a lack of entries, and a notice on its website said the show would not be held again. The committee said that any remaining funds the society holds will be distributed among charities in Wallingford who promote similar aims, and anyone can apply for project funding up to £2,000 by emailing wagsoc2@gmail.com up to June the 30th. I'm sure you'll find the correct address by Googling.
Policing Chief is appointed Head of Ridgeway Charity. A new president has been appointed to help safeguard the Ridgeway, which crosses the North Wessex Downs and Chilterns in southern Oxfordshire. Matthew Barber, Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner and former leader of the Vale of the White Horse District Council, has taken up the role with the Friends of the Ridgeway. The group works to protect and promote the Ridgeway National Trail, an ancient route stretching 87 miles from Wiltshire near Avebury to Buckinghamshire at Ivinghoe Beacon. Mike Lewington, Chairman of the Friends of the Ridgeway, welcomed the appointment. He said, "Matthew shares our passion and commitment to this very special Ridgeway National Trail. I warmly welcome him to the role of President and his support for the Friends of the Ridgeway's objectives to promote enjoyment and use of the Ridgeway by walkers, runners, cyclists and equestrians." Mr. Barber, who lives in West Hanley near Wantage, said he enjoys walking on the Ridgeway with his Labrador Oscar. He said, "The Ridgeway is not just another place to walk, wonderful though it is. The 87 miles of the Ridgeway is part of our living heritage. For over 5,000 years, people have used this trail for commerce, for warfare, and as an intrinsic part of the community. Today, it remains a working part of the countryside, essential for those who farm the land around it. I love discovering the history of the trail, and there is always more to learn. It's a privilege to become president of the Friends of the Ridgeway, and I look forward to working with this amazing team of volunteers to help champion the Ridgeway as one of England's most important national trails. The Friends of the Ridgeway seeks to preserve this vital part of our heritage for recreation, education, and to support those who are guardians of this wonderful landscape." Mr. Lewington said, "We will continue our campaign to restrict recreational use by unauthorised vehicles, which damages the trail's surface and has a negative impact on the enjoyment of other Ridgeway users." And Mr. Barber succeeds Lord Bradshaw, who served as president for 20 years until his resignation in 2020. And along the Ridgeway and in Oxfordshire, there is the White Horse at Uffington, which is very old. And it also passes near Wallingford in Mungewell, near the old Carmel School.
Sailing course sees students taking to the water for fun. Adventurous pupils of all abilities took to the water to help gain a new love of sailing. 12 pupils from Oria School in Didcot took part in a 6-week sailing programme at Burfield Lakes in Berkshire, organised in association with the Andrew Simpson Centre. Students in years 7 to 10 learned the basics of sailing through weekly two-hour sessions, helping them gain confidence both on and off the water. Ali Mountain, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities Coordinator at Oria School and organiser of the programme, said, "It's a fabulous trip with well-trained instructors and all the equipment needed is provided, including wetsuits, life jackets and helmets. During each sailing session, the students are taught about the boat, where they are broken up into small groups of around three children and shown the key parts and how it works before they get onto the water. The programme included one-to-one instruction as well as group activities, allowing students to progress from guided sailing to working together in pairs." Ms. Mountain said, "Each child is then taken out onto the water one-to-one with a sailing instructor to give them a chance to experience sailing and get a feel for what they need to do. As the children gain in confidence, they go out onto the water in pairs and are taught how to sail, including the positioning of the sail and what to do with the rudder, working as a team, and how to manage when the wind changes direction, etc. She believes the impact of the course goes far beyond learning a new sport. She said, "The students learn so much about teamwork, the importance of clear communication, and how to problem solve in a difficult situation. The sailing experience also develops resilience and a growth mindset. A couple of our students before the trip were fearful of water and claimed they would never get in a boat. By the end of the 6 weeks, they were out on the water, sailing independently and feeling exhilarated by their achievement, where they recognise that a can-do attitude can create positive results." Ms. Mountain also highlighted the importance of making such opportunities accessible to all students. She said, "Many of the children that we take on these trips do not have these opportunities outside of school, particularly sailing, as it is normally considered a sport for families who are affluent. It is part funded by the Andrew Simpson Charity, which means that it is more affordable for our students, and they are able to access this exciting opportunity." And above the article, there's a photograph of two smiling schoolgirls in life jackets, wetsuits, sunglasses and helmets standing in front of the Burfield Lakes.
Free tours of floodproof RHS Chelsea Show Garden. Garden lovers are invited to guided tours of a plot that protects against flooding. Howbury Business Park Wallingford has invited the public for free guided tours on June the 4th of its flood resilient garden. The tours will share the story behind the garden's design, its journey from the RHS Chelsea Flower Show to its permanent home in Oxfordshire, and the flood management principle behind its creation. Dr. Ed Barsley, co-designer of the garden, said, "We've worked hard to ensure the garden can endure and thrive for decades to come in its permanent setting, so it is great to see it flourishing, offering education, enhancing biodiversity, helping manage flood risk, and offering a calm, reflective space for all who visit." He will take part in the tours explaining how the garden supports flood risk management. Dr. Barsley will also discuss how the original Chelsea design was adapted to fit the layout at Howbury Park. Stephen Packman, Environment and Innovation Manager at Nurture Landscapes, will speak about the ongoing care of the garden as part of the wider grounds maintenance and describe how it supports biodiversity. Alison Quantrell, a horticultural consultant and planting designer, will explain the plant selection process for the garden and how those choices can inform domestic planting schemes. Kelly Osler-Coyle, Director of Corporate Affairs at Flood Ray, which sponsored the garden at both Chelsea and Howbury, will introduce the session and outline the project's goals. Flood Ray is the joint initiative between the government and the insurance industry, which exists to promote the affordability and availability of flood insurance for homes across the UK. The tours will take place in one-hour slots between 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. and pre-booking is required. Dr. Barsley said the garden demonstrates a range of flood adaptation strategies. The garden shows how measures such as sustainable drainage, resilient planting, rainwater harvesting, and features that slow, store and reuse water can be woven creatively into everyday landscapes. Visitors will also have the option to book a prepaid afternoon tea at the Manor Cafe, which must be ordered in advance. Located next to the cafe, the garden is open to the public on working weekdays without the need for a guided tour. There is plenty of parking nearby, and the site can be reached by bus or by foot from Wallingford via the Crowmarsh Pavilion. Dr. Barsley is an environmental designer and climate resilience specialist whose work focuses on helping people, homes and communities adapt to changing climate. He co-designed the garden for the 2024 RHS Chelsea Flower Show and then worked on its relocation and redesign for Howbury Park. There is a picture of this lovely garden and two people in it, one of whom I assume is Dr. Barsley and another lady, and it does look magnificent.
Scales of Justice. And Jonathan Dobson, aged 44, of Tudor Close, Wallingford, pleaded guilty to two counts of theft from shops in Wallingford on July the 26th and 27th last year. He was handed a conditional discharge of 12 months.
On this day, in 1937, the 4,200-foot Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was opened. On this day last year, TV chef Jamie Oliver had been hailed as an absolute legend by his wife Jules in a social media post celebrating his 50th birthday. And speaking of birthdays, Duncan Goodhue, the former swimmer, is 69 today. Susie Sue, the rock singer, also 69. Neil Finn, rock singer with the band Crowded House, is 68. Pat Cash, former tennis player and Wimbledon champion, is 61. Paul Gascoigne, Gazza, the former footballer, is 59. And the actor Joseph Fiennes is 56. And on this day in 1679, the Habeas Corpus Act, stating that nobody could be held in prison without trial, was passed. In 1703, Tsar Peter the Great founded St. Petersburg and proclaimed it the new capital of Russia. On this day in 1818, women's rights campaigner Amelia Jenks Blumer was born in New York. She caused such a stir by wearing trousers that they acquired her name, Blumers. On this day in 1840, Italian violin virtuoso Niccolò Paganini died. He was reputed to have had a hand span that measured a staggering 18 inches. And on this day in 1900, Belgium became the first country to elect a government by proportional representation. And finally, on this day in 1936, the Queen Mary left Southampton on her maiden voyage to New York.
That concludes today's edition. We hope you enjoyed listening. Have a pleasant week, and it's goodbye from us all.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hello, I'm Sophie. Residents enjoy fun VE Day celebrations. A care home in Didcot hosted a lively VE Day celebration on Saturday, May the 9th. Residents at Oxford Manor Care Home in Didcot enjoyed a nostalgic party filled with 1940s music, dancing and laughter for VE Day, featuring a live performance by the Swingettes and a themed buffet in tribute to Britain's wartime heroes. VE Day, or Victory in Europe Day, is celebrated on May the 8th each year to mark the day the Allies formally accepted Germany's surrender in 1945. Tommy Martin, 74, a resident at the home, said, "I think it was lovely. My family liked it too. Lots of people tried to give us freedom, and that's worth celebrating. The Swingettes had beautiful voices. It was a great day all round." Lorraine Pratt, also 74, praised the celebration. She said, "Our VE Day party was very, very good. There were many shows before here, and they were very good, but this one was brilliant. The event was also an opportunity for staff to celebrate the care home's recent good rating from the Care Quality Commission. And above the article, there's a photograph of one of the Oxford Manor care home residents with two Union Jack flags sticking out of his glasses and a couple of what I suspect are the swingettes on either side of him.